Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Washington, D.C. Acknowledge me.
Chris Russell on the Team 980.
I'm not trying to be a jerk. Ah, but did you miss me? Probably the answer is no. That's okay. I'm a big boy. I can handle it. I know Maddie missed me. Maybe. Sort of. Kind of. I think he likes me. Not sure. Probably more than you scoundrels do. But that's okay. Thanks to the DOC for being here. Yesterday solo. Tuesday with me. Boy, I didn't get to hear any of the show. Check that. I got to hear about 5 minutes of the show. 3 o'clock hour sometime. As I was bumping around after medical appointment and life-a-palooza, you got to take a day off to get your mouth carved out and to get a colonoscopy pre-screening and to clean out your car and to go to the laundromat. And you know, it's just a disaster. I heard, and then I tweeted out this morning and put it on Facebook as well, that the DOC was rocking and rolling with a tribute to RFK, the Redskins, and the Dallas-Washington rivalry, and was joined by Charles Mann, Jeff Bostic, Mike Nelms, Dexter Manley, Mark Mosley, and Daryl Grant, all on the show yesterday. If you missed any of it, I put up the link. The station's got it, theteam980.com on the Odyssey app. Maddie carved it up, labeled it for you. But kudos to Doc for getting all of those guys. And yes, they're his friends and his former teammates. Or I guess they're not former teammates, but you know, they don't play anymore, not current teammates. But that's a pretty impressive guest list, especially for this show. I mean, we have like a religious aversion to doing guests. I mean, we have one guest and we're like melting in a puddle of goo.
Yeah, but when you get Doc for 3 hours on a Dallas week,
it's great.
In a year where, for once, Dallas week might actually mean something. It might actually come to mean something in future Dallas weeks. Mm. So being able to bring a little bit of the old school history, talking about what got the old guys going, why they were so focused on winning these weeks, how the coaching staff got it in their heads that it was Dallas that was the cause of all their problems. I mean, it was great to hear.
I have no doubt. When I looked at the guest list, I was like, oh my gosh, what did I miss?
Also, hearing all the pranks they used to play on each other reminded me of my days back in the locker room.
And it kind of brings us to, obviously, what I wanted to start with today. We're going to get into Deion Sanders and whether he's coming to Dallas and Bill Belichick and Mike Vrabel and all that stuff, because It is a mess for the Dallas Cowboys. But people around here have labeled this, of course, Dallas Week. It is not something that, honestly, and maybe this is the industry plant in me, that I have ever gone, okay, it is a completely different week. It is a completely different feel. Meaning, last week, we didn't call it Philadelphia Week. That was a much bigger game. So, when I look at this rivalry and what I've been a part of, there's been literally one game. 1 year, I guess, because the first game of the two in 2012, Robert's rookie year. Again, both teams weren't great at that time. Washington was only 4-6.
You're talking about Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
Oh.
But it was Thanksgiving, and what Robert and the command, or what the Redskins, I should say, offense did that day. Santana with a touchdown in the front pin corner of the end zone. Cooley had, I think, a touchdown, if I remember correctly. Maybe Josh Morgan. I can't even remember all the different touchdowns. There were like four touchdowns in the second quarter. And then the magnitude of that game at formerly known as FedEx Field, really cold. I remember Raheem Morris, the Atlanta Falcons head coach. He was a defensive backs coach here. And I'm standing on the sidelines, and Raheem is wearing shorts and a t-shirt and a sleeveless t-shirt. And I look at him, and he looks at me. He goes, "What the bleep do you want from me?" And I said, "Rah." I said, "It's 15 degrees out. You ain't in Florida anymore, pal. Put some damn clothes on." And he looked, and he smirked, and he was like, "Got a football game to win." Okay. But the magnitude of that game, what was at stake that night, what started not exactly in Dallas on Thanksgiving Day, because it started 4 days before in a whitewash win of the Philadelphia Eagles, then coached by Andy Reid. But the magnitude of that year, that moment, what was at stake that night was the only time that I can remember. And maybe I'm forgetting. Well, let me back up. Not the only time, because the opener of the 2010 season with Mike Shanahan aboard for his first game, Donovan McNabb, both teams were nothing and nothing. So, of course, the rivalry was front and center. It was Sunday Night Football. It was, again, 90,000 plus. It was NBC. It was Shanahan's first game. It was McNabb's first game. Tony Romo was still the quarterback. I forget who the head coach was for the Cowboys at the time. I'd have to double check that. I can't remember. But the point being is that game, but because it was the first game of the year, obviously took on a different feel. But that 2012 division clincher was the only game where it really meant something. Where it really meant something, not for one, but for both. And that's ultimately the key in any rivalry, right? And while I'm not here to crap all over the Dallas-Washington rivalry and Dallas week, I gotta say this. You gotta be kidding me if you think that the rivalry is the same as it used to be, is alive and kicking, is the same thing as it used to be when Doc and Mosley and Charles Mann and Dexter Manley and Mike Nelms and all of those guys would go head-to-head, toe-to-toe with America's team, and both teams, both organizations were damn good. And I understand not every rivalry, not every game, not every year are teams going to be good at the same time. I understand. It's a cyclical thing. I totally get it. But I cannot sit here and act like, oh my gosh, the rivalry is back, when the Dallas Cowboys absolutely suck. I just can't do it. Oh wait, did I just say that on the radio? The Dallas Cowboys absolutely suck. And usually, Usually, it's the other way around, right? Usually, it's 7-4 Dallas versus 3-7 Washington playing for pride. I looked up the because unlike Coach Sheehan, who lives by gambling and the line spreads and all that stuff, I didn't remember what it was. I wanted to see when the last time the boys in Vegas don't know anything that you don't know. They do their research. They put together a bunch of numbers and a bunch of formulas. Handicappers do not know anything more than basic information, okay? I wanted to look at the last time we had a 10.5-point spread in this rivalry. It was last year! Actually, it was this year! The final game of the Ron Rivera era. It was like a 13.5-point spread in favor of the Cowboys. It wasn't that long ago. As in 11 months ago. But yet, the tide has turned. Each team is now sitting in different chairs, if you will. A lot has happened. A lot has been reshaped. And a lot should be and look and feel very different this Sunday at Northwest Stadium. And I am not here to suggest that this game does not matter, that this game is not important, that this game isn't a huge spot for the Washington Commanders. I'm not here to do that. It is. All of that and a bag of chips. What we don't have, though, what we don't have is how I would define a classic rivalry. Like, when Michigan stunk in college football for a couple of years, and Ohio State was kicking their ass, was the Ohio State-Michigan rivalry the same as it's been, say, the last 3 years? Hell no. When I think Ohio State had won 9 out of 10, again, they were kicking Michigan's ass. Harbaugh couldn't figure out a way to beat them. And then all of a sudden, on a snowy Saturday 3 years ago, Michigan figured it out and ran right down their throats. And boom, all of a sudden, the rivalry was back. Both teams were in the top five, if I remember correctly. It was a snowy Saturday. And Michigan won a game in Ann Arbor that kickstarted a now three-game winning streak over Wehio State, as Tyler would like to call them. And does call them. And it reignited the rivalry. It doesn't take much to reignite, to truly reignite a rivalry. It doesn't take much. But you know what? It does take something. And you can again look at me as being an industry plant. You can look at me as being negative to whatever. No. Boys and girls, children of all ages. I'm just telling you the truth. You can hate Dallas. You can curdle up and loathe them. You can want to see them suffer and squirm around like the rats that they are. All of that is fine. I get it. But to say that the Dallas Cowboys and quote-unquote Dallas Week takes more precedence, is more important, is valued more than last week against the Philadelphia Eagles, a game essentially for first place and maybe for the division, granted, on a short week, so we didn't have the full week, to say that Dallas week, quote-unquote, I don't really call it Dallas week. I use that, again, hence the quote-unquote, because that's what people call it around here. To say that Dallas week is more important, more special, more, relevant, for lack of a better term, because it's quote-unquote Dallas week and because they are a bigger fan rival than, say, the Eagles or the Giants, to me is absurd. And again, you're going to say, well, that's because you haven't been here. I've been here 17 years. I've lived here. That's long enough. I was doing national radio for 8 years before that. I've been doing national radio and talking about the Redskins and the Commanders and then therefore the Cowboys for 25 plus years. Okay, I know what I'm talking about. You don't have to like what I'm talking about, but I know what I'm talking about. This just in is what he wanted to say. When you're 3-7 versus 7-4 and you are playing out the string and you look the way the Dallas Cowboys looked late in that game on Monday night on a short week with travel, that's not the same. That's not the same as when this game, this matchup, was really a rivalry. Again, there's been limited. I remember the Sunday after our friend Rich Tandler, for those that remember Rich. And Rich has been gone for 6 years now, which is crazy. Maybe 7 years? When the field goal kicker for Dallas, I forget his name too, just trickled one wide of the goalpost. And a lot of us, you know, that believe in, you know, kind of the football gods, if you will. It was like mid-October-ish. And the Commander, maybe it was 2018, Alex's first year, I think it was, before the injury. And a lot of us thought, well, the football gods were, and it was a big win. I think the Redskins then went to like 4-2 or something like that. Maybe. There are a couple of other games where you say, well, you know, if the Redskins could have found a way to win, that it would have been a monster win and it would have really elevated the rivalry and it would have elevated the Redskins as an organization. Or I guess the Commanders or the Washington football team in any other version. But let's be honest, if they win this week, they're 8-4. Maybe they're back on track offensively, but the rivalry ain't back. The rivalry is not back until the Cowboys get their head out of their ass. Just like it took the Commanders a long time to get their head out of their proverbial asses. Now, I know you're going to disagree with me.
It is wild how wrong you are.
How is it wild how wrong I am?
We'll come back to it on the other side, but I think you are missing the context of this entire situation, and you are missing the emotion as a Redskins Commanders fan. And as a 30-year-old who's lived in this area for most of my life, I'll tell you why you're wrong and why this game is huge to bringing back the rivalry on board when we come back.
I can't wait. 301-230-0980. Ready, set, aim, fire. Go right ahead. Tell me how wrong I am, like Matt's going to tell me how wrong I am in just a couple of minutes right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, good to have you with us on a Thursday. Yeah, I'm back. Thanks again to Richard Doc Walker. If you missed the show yesterday, and you shouldn't have, but the good news is, as you can do with any show and any segment all day, but especially yesterday, if you were looking for vintage Redskins programming, Dallas Week, the tradition, the history, what it means, all of that, Doc had on, again, Charles Mann, Jeff Bostic, Mike Nelms, Dexter Manley, Mark Mosley, and Daryl Green. Daryl Grant, in one show. And it's all archived for you. It's all podcastable. It's all listenable, theteam980.com and or on the Odyssey app. Matty was here for that. And Matt, you took umbrage right before the show, and I know you were champing at the bit to get to that spot for a couple of minutes on why I'm a fool and why I'm missing the boat on the Washington-Dallas rivalry, even though I would acknowledge when both teams are great or good, obviously it has a different level, a different precedence, but my argument is rarely have both teams been great or good at the same time, and that has hurt the rivalry, and it makes it feel less important to me than last week, just using that as an example, when the Commanders were going to Philadelphia on Thursday night for battle for first place.
Well, I would point out that you brought up a very good point as to why the rivalry, and I'm not saying that the rivalry hasn't been bad and or just non-existent in the past years. The last time that I can really say the rivalry existed was 2012, 2011, in that era, the first year RG3, that was when that Thursday night game, that Thanksgiving game, I still remember as my favorite Thanksgiving because that was one of the few times my family decided to actually go to a different house for Thanksgiving. It just so happened to be a Dallas household.
There were
kids crying on the ground. I was laughing. It was great. But that's the point, is that in order for there to be a rivalry, there has to be emotions. Now, coming into this year, what was Dallas preaching?
They were preaching that it was like the year they were going to put it all together.
They were all in.
Right.
It was their years.
I couldn't exactly think of the terminology, but yes.
Well, guess what? It's not their year.
Mm-hmm.
They are them boys, but not the boys they thought they were. Now, usually, you were also right. We're in this situation coming into the Dallas game where we thought we were going to be a lot better, three wins in, and we realized that's not the case.
Mm-hmm.
For the first time, we have full role reversal, and to add on, this team, the Commanders, are in a two-game losing streak,
mm-hmm.
which, with a little bit longer break, but we are a team that is in desperate need of a win against a team that, on a short week, is...
At 3-7.
Flailing. And a team that we have a history...
They have won three games on the road, though.
But we have a history of having issues with the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. There's the rivalry. This is the year for... Or this game could be huge for the rivalry because this could be the stomping that actually has them in our eyes. Because the one thing that you haven't realized, and being a DC fan, being a DC native, the worst thing you can say to a rival is... Oh, you're inconsequential. And that's what we have been to the Cowboys for decades.
Well, Dorrance Armstrong essentially said the same thing yesterday in the locker room.
And let me tell you, to have somebody who you thought was nobody be like, oh, you're inconsequential. Oh, that lights a fire under someone's butt. I think that this is going to be the game where Dallas stops taking us like jokes and mm-hmm. starts actually being like, no, we don't like them. And we've never liked Dallas. So this game, if it goes hopefully the way we kind of see it going with a fairly resounding Commanders win, this could be the start of the new Dallas rivalry. This is the start of something big. And with a fan base that is finally locking into this team and believing in the team and coming back, we're starting what could be the next generation, the new era, the new world order of the Dallas Cowboys-Washington Commanders rivalry.
Is Hulk Hogan, Eric Bischoff, Kevin Nash,
no, we got
Scott Hall walking through that door?
We got Doc walking through the door.
So here's the deal. I understand where you're coming from, and I know that people are going to not take this the way I mean it. What I mean is, again, in reality, even if both teams are good, this game, this opponent is no more important in reality than the Philadelphia Eagles are, or even the New York Giants are.
Yes, but
reality.
I would also say that with a two-game losing streak, with where we're at in the season, the opponents that we have coming forward, you could also say that this game is the start of what could be a mini winning streak.
Yep.
It should be a winning streak that takes us into the playoffs. So this is the game where you just had two games against two tough opponents, two tough defenses. This is the game where you lock in, figure out your winning formula, and run it down rivals' throats.
What if it doesn't happen? What if it's...
Then in that case, we realize where we're at, and this is still a team that is year one of its supposed rebuild. And
okay,
we acknowledge that, you know what, maybe we put the cart way in front of the horse. But this is, if they are going for a deep run in the playoffs, I think that a resounding win this weekend will have more meaning than a loss last week.
I think in the fan base it does.
Well, from a how the team progresses, because we can also say we haven't had a truly all phases perfect, like just a clean win yet this season.
But if they would have won Thursday night in Philadelphia, I think,
horseshoes and hand grenades. They didn't.
But if they would have, way, 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 way more crucial to have won last Thursday night, a week ago tonight, than anything that's going to happen on Sunday.
I would also say if we had beaten Philly, we probably would have been 17-point favorites. And
maybe.
We would be like, oh, this doesn't even matter. We wouldn't be talking about, because it would have been like, this is celebration to Dallas week because this is a gimme win.
All right, let's see. Let's take the temperature of the fans. Does a rivalry have to have two great teams or two good teams? Let's put great aside. Very hard to be great. Two good teams going at it for it to be a true rivalry? Or can you just have the rivalry because that's what it's always been known as when one team is basically the redheaded bastard stepchild? You know, and the other team is Big Brother. Because that's what we've had 95% of this rivalry over the last, I don't know, 20, 25 years, whatever it is has had that exact scenario. That's what we've had. There's limited exception. Again, I can think of two games that really, really were different. Maybe three. But the 2012 division clincher, for all the marbles, on a Sunday night at FedEx Field, and the 2010 Shanahan-McNabb opener, also at FedEx Field. That's it. I mean, they played on Thanksgiving a bunch of times. The football team, Washington football team, went in there and kicked their ass on Thanksgiving a couple of years ago in 2000. Dallas was fine from what I remember, but Dallas wasn't great that year. I mean, hell, the football team, the Washington football team, won the division at 7-9, propelled by what they did on that Thanksgiving Thursday, and everybody thought, oh, it's different now. All right, let's get to a trending alert and then your calls on the other side. I promise we will get right to you in just a couple of moments. We don't have very long breaks here. Trust me, I know this. I feel this every day right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, let's start with Thursday night football. It's yours tonight, starting at 8 o'clock via Westwood One here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. It is the 8-2 Pittsburgh Steelers against the opposite 2-8 Cleveland Browns. I wonder if they're talking about the rivalry between the Steelers and the Browns today in Cleveland or in Pittsburgh. Nope, they're probably just talking about a football game that the Steelers should win. Again, you can catch it right here on the Team 980. Commanders on the practice field right now. We'll get you some injury updates. Will and is Marshawn Lattimore actually practicing with the team for the first time? The answer to that coming up as soon as we get it. College football tonight, a little ACC action, 5-5 NC State against Georgia Tech at 6-4. That's at 7:30. Meanwhile, the Capitals are back home after sweeping a three-game roadie, but without their stud captain, Alex Ovechkin. Instead, Ivan Marechnichenko promoted back from Hershey, and the Capitals will host the Colorado Avalanche, who they beat just last Friday night, and that's what's trending. All right, coming up, we'll have one other element, if you will, that's new to the rivalry. And I'm not saying it's not a rivalry. I'm saying it doesn't mean as much, A, because both teams aren't good. One is lousy and playing out the string, and one is good and trying to get back on the winning path. Also, when you look at just the way the NFL structure is, again, last week's game in Philadelphia, realistically and in every which way, meant a lot more than this Sunday's game. But for whatever reason, fans don't look at it that way. And again, I used an Ohio State-Michigan reference. When Michigan was down and kind of, you know, winning seven games and losing four or five games a year before they got good again, Ohio State played many more important games against Michigan State, against Penn State, against Northwestern. Right? And that's considered the greatest rivalry in college football. And yet, I don't know. Like, for me, it's got to be that. Like, the Capitals-Penguins rivalry is great when both teams are making the playoffs, and especially when they meet in the playoffs. The Penguins not making the playoffs for the last 2 years, and probably a third year, has taken some of that sting away. It just has, period. It's just not the same. Sorry, it's not. Same thing for the Nationals and let's call it the Phillies or the Mets, whatever, or the Braves, whatever you want to choose. The Nationals sucking for the last 5 years has absolutely taken that away. Absolutely taken that away. It just has. And I understand not everything is the same. I got it. Different sports. But you see where I'm going at with this? All right, let's get to the calls right here on a Thursday. Let's start with DMV Kel to get us going here on a Thursday afternoon. What's up, Kel? How are you?
Grocery store, or the gas station, or the barber shop, or the beauty salon, dropping my daughter off to get her hair. All I hear is, we them boys, we going to beat the hell out of y'all. Y'all, listen, if you think it's not a rival, you're going to the wrong barber shop. You're going to the wrong grocery stores, because everywhere I go, all I hear is we them boys. We them boys. What y'all going to do Sunday? What y'all going to do? I mean, Cowboys fans feel privileged and it's accepted to come up to me and talk to me about our team. Now, granted, I'm with you. The luster has died off. But once you hate Obama, you hate Obama. There is no taking it back.
Yeah.
And we hate them cow bombs. Just that simple.
I appreciate you, Cal, as always, bringing it hard. All of that is true. I've never tried to, in anything that I've said today, never once have you said it's not a rivalry, or have I said it's not a rivalry. I've said it's just not as important. It doesn't feel the same as it did when both teams were good, when both teams were great, when both teams were truly playing for something. If the Cowboys were 7, again, last week was, now you want a rivalry? There you go. That was a rivalry game. And unfortunately, Washington came up short. That's okay. Hopefully, when Philadelphia comes down the pike here in a couple of weeks, hopefully the Commanders have won 3 in a row. Hopefully. And it will mean the world. Okay? But again, and maybe I'm picking and choosing here, I just don't think a rivalry is always the same just because it's always been the same. I understand what Kel is saying, that Cowboys fans talk trash, Commanders fans, Redskins fans, what have you, talk trash. Again, nobody's suggesting that fans don't care. Nobody's suggesting that it's still not a quote-unquote rivalry. What I am saying is it ain't the same. It just isn't, period. And two, and here's the crux of what I'm saying. Again, in reality, not in fantasy, in reality, last week's game and last week's matchup against a rival meant way, 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 way more than this week. Yet, we didn't have the fancy slogans, the fancy imaging. It's Philadelphia week. It's none of that stuff. But yet, It's just it's a way more important game, or it was a way more important game, and it's just as important in terms of the overall context because they're a division team just like the Cowboys.
I mean, I get where you're coming from, but you're talking as such a non-athlete. I mean, let me break this down.
A non-athlete?
Yes, let me break this down.
I thought you were going to say you're talking about as like such a industry plant, like
Industry plant, but also just as a non-athlete, as a non-competitor. And I'm going to break this down to the lowest level of competition that I ever competed in.
Right.
Summer league swimming in the DMV. Everyone knows it's a pretty big deal. NVSL. I was on the overly swim team. D1, it's one of the, like, kind of, I mean, the ringers. We win everything. A lot of people hated us. We had one team, the Chesterbrook Tiger Sharks, who were our rivals. We hated Chesterbrook. We did everything in our power to beat Chesterbrook. It didn't even matter if they were the best team or not. We could go four wins in five losses. And as long as one of those wins was against Chesterbrook, it was a successful season. I mean, when they weren't our rival, when they weren't the best team in the division, they were still our biggest pep rally. My senior year, they were not in the competition. They were not even in regards for winning the division or anything like that. The pep rally before that meet, because they were the Tiger Sharks, a couple of the seniors on the team and I went to one of the local Asian markets, bought some shark, and then grilled it up and fed it to all the little ones. Saying now,
so you're saying not just for the fans,
for the athletes
that were involved. Honestly think, just play, you know, yes or no? Do you honestly think Jaden Daniels cares more about this game than last week?
Well, who's leading him? Dan Quinn, who was with Dallas,
right?
He has something to prove coming over.
He does. And I was going to get to that.
There is you have to have, from leadership down, you need people that have a want. And sometimes you can want to win real bad. Sometimes you need a drive to win.
Let
and
me ask you this:
don't like those
all
guys.
Right, let me ask you this: do you think Dan? Well, I want to save Dan Quinn. I want to get to. Do you think anybody that is addressing the team this week is like, I hate those guys. I loathe those guys. They make my skin crawl. Beat them! Beat their asses! Do you think anybody is doing that? I don't think so.
I mean, I'd be good if somebody was.
Well, I mean, it would be useless.
Why?
Just win the game. It's a division game. It's a team you should beat. It's at home. Send a message and move on. Get ready for Tennessee, a team that is going to not be easy.
But I would argue one of the big issues that we've had this season has been like missed tackles and just getting slow to the ball. You want to know what would help getting those tackles actually shored up and making sure they're fast to the ball?
A little fire and brimstone?
A little aggression.
A little piss and vinegar?
A little bit of, hey,
you don't
those
think
guys
they've
suck.
Had aggression at times this year?
At times, not consistently? At times, but if you can put aggression against an entire team where they are the bad guys, not that guy.
Maybe.
The entire team, those are the bad guys?
Maybe I'm sleeping on this whole rivalry thing because I was never the athlete that you were, Matthew.
Well, I mean, that or the fact that the Jets rival are the Patriots and you just got smacked for 20 years also.
Wow. See, you don't know that if I'm a Jets fan, a Bills fan, a Giant. I mean,
well,
I'm accused
so
of
much about Aaron Rodgers.
I'm accused of being all three. It's the greatest mystery on this show. Let's get to, there's other probably great mysteries, but you get my point. Let's get to Uptown Mo next up on the Team 980. Uptown Mo, how are you?
Rooster, I love you as a person.
I love
your
you too.
Your take
Mo.
Right now is mind-numbing. Let me. First of all, when you mentioned the Penguins and the Capitals, yeah. I believe that Sid the Kid has more rings than Ovechkin.
Yes, he does.
So I believe that the Capitals have come out on the short end of that stick more times than that. But it still was a rivalry. Correct? Cool. What I'm telling you is that the Dallas Cowboys and Washington Redskins rivalry divides families. And the Washington Redskins were the last franchise to integrate. So there are a bunch of older people who are Cowboy fans who live directly in this city.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? The games, it doesn't matter. Listen, when we won the Super Bowl in 91, it's Cowboy fans that still say we was 1-15. Mm-hmm. The one game they beat us, it was us that they beat.
But, Mo, let me ask you this, and I'm being serious, right? I mean, we understand there's a difference between how fans think and how players, coaches, organizations think, correct? Like, for example, like what I was just saying with Matt, right? I could be totally wrong. Maybe Dan Quinn is making an impassioned plea to hate the Cowboys, but I don't think so. Like, I don't think it's in any way, shape, or form anything more than a fan figmentation or a fan thing.
No, Chris, listen who owns the team. Josh Harris has been a fan since he was a kid.
Yeah.
He hates the Cowboys.
I know, but what is Josh doing about that? Is he going, win for the Gipper? I what is he doing?
Watch this. Chris, let me tell you on some reality. You like to delve in reality, right?
Yes.
Reality is the Cowboys game, when we win, is going to set up the Eagles coming back. Hopefully they lose to the Steelers or the Ravens. It's going to set up the Eagles coming back, and that's playing for all the marbles.
I hope so.
A bigger game than last week's game.
And let me ask you this. If that's the scenario, right, the Sunday before Christmas, wouldn't that Philadelphia game be bigger than any Cowboy game at all, period, this year or any time recently between the Cowboys and the Commanders or the Commanders by any other name? Wouldn't it be bigger and more meaningful and more important?
It would be bigger in terms of us winning the division.
Right, which is all I care about.
Secure numbers. Yeah, that's what you care about, but you're not from here.
I understand that. I feel and allow you to tell me how you feel. And that's why I like you, Mo.
But I want you to feel this because you've been here for 17 years.
Yeah.
You're not a transplant anymore.
No, I know.
I want you to really open your eyes and see that this is the most important week.
I will when both teams are good and battling for the division. Thank you, Mo. Appreciate you. 301-230-0980. I see you all lined up. We'll get to Mark. We'll get to Rodney. We'll get to – I heard Paulie's – that's what I heard driving around yesterday. I heard Paulie – talking about how it's Dallas week and that's the most important thing. So
the entirety of the show, you only caught Paulie.
Yeah, that's it. I was busy. I wasn't getting my colon checked out, but I was going through.
Did call that.
Yeah, I mean, and some of you might say I'm full of what comes out of. Well, anyway, 301-230-0980 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, Matty Ice is on the other side of the glass. I am merely the rooster. A lot of you are going to hate me. I get it. I understand it. I own it. I'll wear it. I'm right. You're wrong. The rivalry is not the same unless both teams are playing for something, are good, are legit. And that doesn't just mean, like, next year if the schedule comes out and they're playing in week two and both teams are 1-0, that all of a sudden the rivalry is back. I mean, there's context and nuance to everything. Let me give you a Marshawn Lattimore update from Nikki Javala. She was the one that I saw. He is working once again on the side field, with Commander strength coaches. I think we can pretty much at this point say that it is very unlikely that Marshawn Lattimore will make his Commander's debut this Sunday. I don't want to rule it out. I don't want to be irresponsible, but he hadn't practiced yet at all in any way, shape, or form other than at least he's working on the side field with Commander strength coaches. Probably more looking like next week, but again, I don't want to rule it out. 301-230-0983. We'll talk about the Dan Quinn component on the other side of 2 o'clock. Let's get back to a call or two right here, right now. Let's get to Mark and Chevy Chase. What's up, Mark? How are you?
Hey, Chris. I'm doing fine.
Good.
We're irrelevant right now. Once we raise a fourth championship, then we will be relevant.
Mm.
Until then, we will be looked at as irrelevant with Dallas.
Okay, so wait. So clarity, you're saying irrelevant to Dallas or irrelevant overall or to the NFL? Like, what exactly do you mean by irrelevant?
we need to get respect again. We need, I think we're on the right track. In the NFC East, we're sort of the walkover mat. Once we get the fourth, they'll probably be turning on their television sets, very pissed off, and have to acknowledge that we're back. As a long-suffering Washington fan, coming from a long-suffering Washington grandfather who went 30 years without anything, back from the 40s through the 70s, and now this stretch, we have a great sense of humor. So I'm hoping for holiday cheer this season, and I'm hoping that, in fact, the 425 Green Bay-San Francisco game has relevancy to us Washington fan base. But we always travel in small packs, and we have to do twice as much for the other teams to acknowledge us. So I don't see anything but until we get great again to get that respect, because I do feel, without being a pep rally, I do feel we're the greatest organization on the planet, and hopefully Josh Harris will prove this.
Yeah, hopefully hopefully one day. And if you win a fourth championship, maybe you can once again say that. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it as always. Tell you what, to be fair to everybody, we're going to take the time out, get back as quickly as we can, and then we'll have a nice long segment where we can get everybody's calls in. Keep them coming. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. I do want to examine the whole Dan Quinn dynamic as well on the other side of 2 o'clock. We just touched on it a little bit, but I do want to get to that more in just a little bit, but I want to roll through as many calls as we can. Plus, we're going to get to Dion and who is going to be ultimately the new head coach of the Dallas Cowboys and whether that worries you or not. Alex Ovechkin, of course, on IR. That means the Capitals will be without the Great Eight tonight against the Colorado Avalanche at Capital One Arena. More to come right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.